We thank the Lord for the opportunity of being here with you again. My heart's been encouraged with the scripture and I'd like to share it with you this morning. Book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Glad to see Sister Geraldine here this morning, too. Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 21st verse, says, "Having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our hearts with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." I want to encourage us today to hold fast to our faith in God, our profession, our testimony of what God has done for us in life. We also sing a song, "Hold Fast." And I believe it brings out, hold fast to your covenant made with God. Hold fast to that. Hold on to it. Another place it says, hold fast for the strength you shall need in life. He surely will help you amid the strife. There are many things that we want to hold on to this morning, and our relationship with God is one of them. We want to hold onto that and keep it, and we want to guard it with all of our hearts this morning, because it's the most valuable thing that we have in life, is what God has given us and what He's blessed us with in our heart and our soul. Dropping down in that same chapter, he mentions in the 35th verse, he says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry." So I want to encourage us this morning to hold fast to our faith and our confidence, hold fast. He mentions, don't cast away your confidence in God, which hath great recompense of reward. Because there's coming a day when we're going to be able to cash it in. There's coming a time when there's going to be a reward given. And we want to be able to have something at that time that we've held on to in life. Years ago, when I was in junior high, I had a friend that was, he was in track, and he ran the mile, and he decided a mile is quite a ways. It's not a 100-yard sprint. It's four times around a 440 track. Well, he decided that he was going to give it all he had out of the chute. And he did. And it looked really impressive. He ran around the whole lap, and I think it looked like he was about a half a track ahead of everybody else. And that would have been fine if the race wouldn't ended them. But it didn't end on the first lap. And pretty soon, the second lap came, and the third lap, and he started losing his stamina and his strength. And he started slowing down. And then finally, people started passing him up. Until I think he ended up about, well, what happened on the last turn of the last leg, he just ran off the track and sat down. That's how far behind he was. But he was reprimanded for that, because he didn't finish the race. The coach got on to him, and he got in trouble over that. And I'm sure he felt, what's the use, deeply humiliated. But I want to encourage us this morning to continue in the race. If you're not in the race, get in the race. There's another verse that talks about running with patience the race that is set before us. It's not a 100-yard sprint. Life isn't. There's months involved and years involved. And we've got to pace ourselves if we want to finish. We want to have a good pace and a good pace to be able to finish the race that God has given to us. I want to get another scripture now in the book of Psalms, the 73rd chapter, I believe. It's a testimony that's kind of stood out to me different times. Psalms, the 73rd chapter, and the first verse. He says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Then he goes on, he enumerates different things that he looked, but what I get in this reading, that this person, I believe he loved God. I believe he was serving the Lord. But he saw some things in life that didn't make sense to him. He saw some things that didn't add up. When he looked out, he saw those that weren't living for God. And it looked like everything was going well for them. Looked like they were prospering. Looked like they were doing fine. Things were going well for them. And then he looked at his own life. Verse 12. Let's read verse 13. He said, "Verily I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." What that's saying to me is trouble. He had trouble in his life. Here he was living for God, gave his heart to God, and life was full of trouble. And he looked out and he saw others that didn't give their hearts to God. It looked like everything was going well for them. And it caused him to begin to stumble in his faith. He began to lose his grip on God. He began to lose his faith in God. He said, Verily I've cleansed my hands in vain. What's the use? But it says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. In his life, going into the sanctuary of God, somehow he went into the presence of God and he was able to understand some things that his natural eyes told him, this don't make sense to me. I don't understand it. But God was able to reveal to his spiritual understanding In verse 16, he says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. You know, there's sometimes things that are in life that are that way, that we don't understand. And when we try to understand it, it hurts. And that's where this man was. And he began to lose his faith and his confidence. And his spiritual feet began to slide. And I want to tell us, we'll encounter sometime in life where our faith is going to be challenged. We're going to face things in life that we're going to question. Why? That we're not going to have the answer to. And it's at those times, if we're not careful, that we begin to allow our faith to waver, our confidence to slip, and we begin to struggle. But I want to encourage us at those times to continue on, to keep going in our spiritual lives, even though you don't understand. You know, when the Lord led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the Canaan land, He took them through some difficult areas. And they didn't understand. And they didn't know God's purposes and plans. And sometimes we don't either. And it's difficult at those times. It's a struggle at those times. Because sometimes we get the feeling that God's unfair. Or God really doesn't care. Or God's not concerned. I want to say He is concerned this morning. Truly, God is good to Israel. And to such are of a clean heart. The Lord is concerned about circumstances. Even though sometimes it appears that He's not. But our faith is going to be, it's going to be tried. And when it is, Lord, help us to hold on. Help us to hold on. Help us to continue on. I think about also the scripture we find that Job, the experience that Job went through. And probably none of us go through the depths of what Job did, but I'm sure glad it's in the scriptures today because it's been a comfort to many people. But I want to get the book of James, the 5th chapter. James, the 5th chapter, and I believe it's the 11th verse. He said, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." I want to tell us there's an end of our troubles. There's an end to our difficulties. Sometimes it looks like there's no end in sight. But there's an end. And Lord, help us to hold on to our faith at those times, to confidence in the love of God and the care of God and His goodness. But we remember Job and the things that he went through. and he was a godly man. He wasn't suffering from his or sin or wrong that he had done. And you remember the account where Job said, I looked on my left hand and on my right. And I looked in the front and looked in the back. And it seemed like God was nowhere to be found. He didn't feel God. It was like God had completely abandoned him. You know, there's going to be times that we feel that way. There's going to be times that our human emotions and our human feelings, and the devil's going to tell us that God has abandoned you, He's left you. There's no sense of going any further. There's no sense in trying. You might as well throw in the towel. Our feelings and what we feel is going to tell us that. And we're going to pray, and we're going to pray, and it just seems like sometimes there's a brick wall there that, like, God doesn't hear. We're going to have times like that. Life is a long distance run. It's not just a short sprint. It's a long distance run. And there's going to be times that we feel that way. Lord, help us to keep the faith. Help us to recognize there's going to come an end to it. Death is going to be swallowed up in victory. There's going to be a time when the end of our trial, the difficulty, is going to pass. There came a time when Job's passed. And to his wife, oh, she just said, curse God and give it up. You going to hold on to your faith? What's the use? Just curse God and give it up. But Job held on. He held on to faith. He held on to trust and confidence in the Lord. And you know what? The Lord blessed him, didn't He? Ye have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very tender. Very pitiful. Merciful. And I believe the Lord knows. He knows what we can go through. He knows what we're able to handle. He protects us. He helps us. But there are things that do come. Hard places in life. I remember reading an account of a slave. Lived in the South. Had a good master. Was able to live with his family and his children. Treated with respect and well. But the economy failed and dropped. And he ended up being sold to a slave owner that was very bitter, very cruel, very merciless. And he would take, and I can't remember what his name is, but they would take him out to the pole and tie him, whip him till the blood ran. And this man began to struggle in his faith. He loved God. He was serving the Lord. But weeks, months, and he was battling bitterness. Bitterness was trying to come into his heart. until one day, it was after another beating, I believe, that the Lord gave him a vision of what he went through. And when he saw what his Lord went through, what Christ suffered and what he went through, all the bitterness fled. You know, some temptations are momentary. They come, and 5 minutes are gone. Other temptations are not. They can last for months, years. Lord, help us today. Help us to endure. We count them happy that endure. Our faith is very important for us this morning to hold on to. I want to read a little poem that stood out to me. It was came across not too long ago. It's called The Race. It says, whenever I start to hang my head in front of failure's face, my downward fall is broken by the memory of a race. A children's race, young boys, young men, how I remember well. Excitement, sure, but also fear. It wasn't hard to tell. They all lined up so full of hope, each thought to win that race, or tie for first, or if not that, at least take second place. Their parents watched from off the side, each cheering for their son, and each boy hoped to show his folks that he would be the one. The whistle blew and off they flew, like chariots of fire. To win, to be the hero there, was each young boy's desire. One boy in particular, whose dad was in the crowd, was running in the lead and thought, my dad will be so proud. But as he speeded down the field and crossed a shallow dip, the little boy who he'd win lost his step and slipped. Trying hard to catch himself, his arms flew every place. And midst the laughter of the crowd, he fell flat on his face. As he fell, his hope fell too. He couldn't win it now. Humiliated, he just wished to disappear somehow. You ever felt that way? But as he fell, his dad stood up and showed his anxious face, which to the boy so clearly said, get up and win that race. He quickly rose, no damage done, behind a bit, that's all, and ran with all his mind and might to make up for his fall. So anxious to restore himself, to catch up and win, his mind went faster than his legs, and he slipped and fell again. He wished that he had quit before with only one disgrace. I'm hopeless as a runner now. I shouldn't try to race. But through the laughing crowd, he searched and found his father's face. With a steady look that said again, get up and win that race. So he jumped up to try again, 10 yards behind the last. If I'm going to gain those yards, he thought, I've got to run real fast. Exceeding everything he had, he regained 8, then 10. But trying hard to catch the lead, he slipped and fell again. Defeat. He lay there silently. A tear dropped from his eye. There's no sense running anymore. Three strikes, I'm out. Why try? I've lost, so what's the use? He thought, I'll live with my disgrace. But then he thought about his dad, who'd soon he have to face. Get up, an echo sounded low. You haven't lost at all. For all you have to do to win is rise each time you fall. Get up, the echo urged him on. Get up and take your place. You were not meant for failure here. Get up and win that race. So up he rose to run once more, refusing to forfeit. And he resolved that win or lose, at least he wouldn't quit. So far behind at others now, the most he'd ever been, still he gave it all he had and ran like he could win. Three times he'd fallen stumbling, three times he rose again. Too far behind to hope to win, he still ran to the end. They cheered another boy who crossed the line and won first place. Head high and proud and happy, no falling, no disgrace. But when the fallen youngster crossed the line in last place, the crowd gave him a greater cheer for finishing the race. And even though he came in last with head bowed low and proud, you would have thought he'd won the race to listen to the crowd. And to his dad, he sadly said, I didn't do so well. To me, you won, his father said. You rose each time you fell. Now when things seem dark and bleak and difficult to face, the memory of that little boy helps me in my own race. For all of life is like that race with ups and downs and all. And all you have to do to win is rise each time you fall. And when depression and despair shout loudly in my face, another voice within me says, get up and win that race. Can you hear our Heavenly Father saying that this morning? It doesn't matter how many times you've come short, how many failures you've made in your life. The important thing is to get back up and to keep trying and to stay in the race. They sang a song years ago at Monarch one time, touched my heart, Brother Lauren, Sister Maxine, but it was Keep the Faith. Keep the faith while here, living here below. Lord, help us this morning to keep the faith. To keep on. Sometimes when you don't feel like it. That one scripture where it talked about casting not away your confidence and holding fast. It says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Folks, we need one another. We need each other's help. We need each other's encouragement. And it's a good place to get it with people of God, family of God. Let's be encouraged this morning to keep the faith. We'll be so glad one of these days. One of these days we're across the finish line. The last, there's a finish line. And one of these days we're going to cross that finish line. If we'll keep up, if we'll get up when we fall and keep going. And you know, it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it to our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren if we keep the faith and hold on to the faith. I thought about, you know, a relay race. They've got that baton. And the man that's running his leg, he's reaching forward, trying to hand the baton. And they've got a space there where they're both running together. And it's a beautiful thing to see a smooth. I mean, it's like there's no, they can just do it so smooth. And there's no ground lost, no time lost. But the man in front, he's holding his hand back. He's waiting for that baton. And it's for them to win the race, they've got to finish with the baton in hand. They drop it, they got to stop and pick it up and have that baton when they cross the line. And that's like it is the older generation is, you know, we're trying to hand that baton. The younger generation, you're going to run. Oh, but run with something in hand. Live life with something in hand. A faith and confidence in God that when it comes your time, you're able to pass something on to your family and your children. And the only thing that really matters is passing on. Is faith and confidence in God. I don't know of anything I'd rather pass on to my children than that. Is a testimony in faith, being faithful to God. Appreciate your attention this morning. Pray for me.